This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And as probably you know, Paul's teachings really center on Christ, not on himself. And in this particular reading, Paul reminds us that though we may think that we are at the end of our rope, we are never at the end of hope. And the reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, if you want to follow along in your Bibles. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you.
Hi again. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm hardly ever in the front end of this service. I'm either on the back with the youth or at the first service. So I'm really, really honored to be spending some time with you this morning. As you might have heard, this is kind of a requirement. It's actually my final exam for one of my classes. So that's where the grading part comes in. So I feel like the time cannot be better because last weekend, 9 of our youth were at a camp from our conference called Spanglish. And next Sunday is Youth Sunday. And I'm just here in the middle, kind of like bridging the two. Let's pray. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts is in you. Amen. So last weekend at camp, we had tons of fun. We played games, we made up cheers to see who was the first one to go in and eat, because eating is important when you're at camp working with teenagers. And not only did we have tons of fun, but we also grew spiritually, emotionally. And I say we because us adults are included in that growth. And the theme of the camp was levántate, be the change. Or raise up, sé el cambio. And when you ask some of our teenagers what camp was about, they'll answer with words such as respect or process. Meaning that in order to be the change that they want to see in the world, They have to respect themselves and each other and allow themselves to go through the process that God uses to make us grow. One of the ways we learned this was with the image up in the screen. Yeah, thank you. This image is a pottery item that has gone through the Japanese restoration process called kintsugi or kintsukuroi, which translates to repair with gold. It is the art of repairing pottery with gold or silver and understanding that the piece is more beautiful for having been broken. Thus, the wounds that we have become beautiful healed scars worthy of admiration because they speak not of what we have done or gone through, but what we have overcome for the glory of God. How fitting that today's scripture also talks about jars of clay. Excuse me. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 through 6 says, "We don't preach ourselves, but rather the lordship of Jesus Christ. For we are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let brilliant light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has cascaded his light onto us, the brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God, as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ." Like UMCTO, Paul writes to a mature Christian community based in a thriving community in Corinth. The ports and commerce of Corinth allowed the city to be compared by theologians to your current modern American city. Like all cities, challenges and dilemmas arise. So the Apostle Paul writes these letters of correspondence with the Corinthian Christian community to confront various theological and ethical problems. It is clear from this correspondence that for Paul, theology and ethics go together. You can't separate the two. So when Paul writes in verse 5 and 6, he's making a reference to our role as a reflection of Christ in this world, meaning our relationship with Christ is not about ourselves, but about letting God's light shine in us so that he can shine through us in the darkness of this world. If we look back a few verses, Paul's argument is that Christ is in fact the key not only to the new covenant, but also to a proper understanding of Scripture and the old covenant. Many times, as we grow old, we feel like it's out with the old and in with the new, and we might be intimidated by what this whole new thing is. But Jesus came to set a new path to redemption and faith life, a path to salvation, not by replacing the old, but by honoring and giving it new meaning. Jesus gives new meaning to old concepts. If we consecrate ourselves to Christ, then the little, small, mundane stuff that we do counts much more than we think. Excuse me. Especially when we do those little small things with great love, God takes that into consideration. And so you never know, in those little stuff that you're doing day to day that might seem small, you might be packing a huge miracle. Bless you. He uses what's discounted by us to do miracles. God takes everyday things and turns them into glorious, worthy, precious items, like clay jars. So verses 7 through 12 continue. "We are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. We consider living to mean that we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. So then death is at work in us, but it releases life in you. We are like common clay jars. When I researched pottery in biblical times, it turns out that pottery production was a big deal for the Israelites. So much so that the Bible is filled with imagery of potters and the potter's hands. And normally, potters would produce special items and making certain vessels and just mass produce them. They would sell, barter, and exchange them in markets, while Palestinian potters produce mostly utilitarian vessels, such as cooking pots, storage jars, bowls, and other kitchen items. So basically, Paul is saying that we're like plastic storage boxes, or that we're that one casserole dish that doesn't have a name at the church's potluck. Except that Paul doesn't focus on the perishable container, but on the precious content. Paul chose to focus not on himself, but on God. That's where the power comes from. We have power. God's power inside of us, like the gold in this vase. Let's look back at the art of kintsugi, which takes a very different view of things that are broken or marred than we do in the West. In the West, or here, when something precious is damaged, whether it's Rembrandt's The Night Watch, or Michelangelo's David, or a precious family heirloom, we do what we can to restore it to its former pristine beauty. We want the repairs to be as seamless as possible, the cracks to be and slashes unseen, the object to be fully made whole so that to all appearances, nothing ever happened to it. We do the same thing to our lives. When life twists us and bends us, we grab a hold of things tightly in hopes that we don't break. But sometimes, holding on can cause more damage than releasing. When we do break and allow ourselves to go there, we rapidly put ourselves back together as seamless as possible in hopes that everything goes back to normal and that nobody notices. Kintsukuroi, and may I add Jesus and the Apostle Paul, take a very different approach. Kintsugi is said to date for the 15th century when supposedly a shogun sent a prized object back to China for repair, and it was returned with staples holding it together. Dissatisfied, the shogun set a challenge for artisans to come up with a more aesthetically pleasing way of repair, and Kintsukuroi was the answer. In time, these repaired objects became venerated, because the visibility of their cracks and breaks testified to their history, making them an emblem of resilience. The passage of time, the inevitability of change and transformation. It's the transformative nature of kintsugi that's so arresting, because by flaunting the object's history, the object becomes more than it was before it was damaged, and something new that testifies to the past, but it's fully part of the present. According to Paul, we are like jars of clay, but may I suggest that we are jars of clay repaired in true kintsugi form. We are the clay, and the Holy Spirit is the gold that binds us together. Our miracle doesn't come when we break and piece ourselves together. Our miracle comes when we break and allow God to be the gold that holds us up. It comes in the form of allowing our scars to speak of the beauty of God's grace in our lives, to ourselves and to others. The miracle is in the breaking. Most people will never be blessed because they won't allow themselves to be broken. You don't have to pretend that you have it all together. That's what Jesus is for. That's what your church community is for, to hold you up. Allow the breaking process to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then you'll be able to be a greater blessing to everyone else. If you allow that brokenness to be redeemed by God, there are many others that can be fed through seeing these broken places that you have walked through. The thing you thought would kill you, if you put it in the hands of God, it would give you life beyond your past, beyond your present, and it will propel you into a future filled with hope and healing for you and for others. There's power in these broken pieces. Don't discount them. The bridge between the miracle that you need is what God has done for you in the past, and the thing that God did then, the power that got you to this, is the power that will carry you into your destiny. It is the power that will carry the ones looking up to you to their destiny. The power behind the miracles is Jesus Christ himself. The only thing that will sustain you in between the miracles is looking at these broken pieces, taking them to Jesus for mending, Kintsukuroi style. As I asked God to reveal his message for us in the appointed scripture, I was reminded of what Pastor John said in the vision meeting. He said, UMCTO is a healthy church that could be healthier. Okay. UMCTO is comfortable in their current health status as a community because the diagnostic is not a negative one. It has become so confident in its own gifts, abilities, and talents, and provisions that it has forgotten all about its broken pieces. Those broken pieces that are here now because of Jesus. Just because God uses us for the miracle in the first place doesn't mean that we are any more capable of doing the miracle now that we were in the first place. Jesus is the one doing the blessing, the miracles, and the breaking. All we have to do is allow ourselves to be processed and reprocessed. Just because you were processed once doesn't mean you need to be processed again by Jesus. We have to allow ourselves to be mended by his gold. Part of keeping up our health or becoming healthier is acknowledging where we are in our spiritual journey with Christ. Sometimes we have it all together. Other times, our experience twists and turns and we get overwhelmed. And it reminds us that we indeed are broken people in need of mending. This is our confidence. That when we are broken and invisible, God finds us and restores us. Continue to bring what you have, and God will do the rest. We cannot finish in our own strength what only God started. Some of us think we don't need him now because we're polished and can manage pretty well without him. We believe we can make our own miracles. But when you come to a place where you're at the end of yourself and you can no longer do it by yourself, whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotionally, financially, I don't know what it is, but if you allow yourself to go there, then Jesus shows up and says, I'm here to bless, break, and multiply what you can't do in your own strength. The fact that God would use sometimes fragile, weak, insecure human beings and fill us with himself is a paradox. It's a paradox. God's power working in and through us. The valuable message of salvation in Jesus Christ being entrusted to the ones who need saving. To show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. treasure in jars of clay to teach us that trust God and not ourselves. Treasures in jars of clay to teach us to depend on Him and not ourselves. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he asked God 3 times to remove, but God refused, saying, "My grace is sufficient in you, or for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." May the Holy Spirit be the gold that holds you together. May God shine in and through your brokenness.